Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The turn of the century miniseries that enthralled TNT viewers in early 2018 returns this Sunday night. The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, continues the saga and expands the subject matter. Showrunner Stuart Callahan joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Dublin, Ireland. Summer Camp Activity is the new in-TV turn this coronavirus pandemic season. One early example of this is Camp TV, which many PBS stations launched this past Monday. We'll learn how it's doing later this hour from series producer and writer Melinda Toporoff. Also ahead, USA leaves Briar Patch, Food Network's Robert Irvine extension, and our classic trivia question. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book and more when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Good to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for the program all about TV's current and future. 77 degrees at the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. By the way, quick breaking news note, we expect an announcement from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo at the top of the next hour whether New York City will finally enter phase 4 of the reopening and join the rest of New York State, which could mean the reopening of TV production. We will have more on that, obviously, on Monday, no matter what the decision is. We have some great guests coming away on the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. So get interactive with us. All you need to do is take the phone, pick it up, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and Tuner Radio. Another way to be involved, our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We welcome our good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia. He is already in the room and ready to go. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. Don't forget, the room is Simon Apple 04, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect those by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or speaker screen. Follow the instructions of other people to be live with you and us. And Stuart Callahan from the Alienist, Angel of Darkness on TNT, joins us live from Dublin after these news notes. USA Network no longer has Briar Patch, the Rosario Dawson starring mystery series co-executive produced by Sam Esmail. USA axed the scripted series after a season that started Thursdays in prime time and finished on Mondays late nights after WWE Raw. Low viewership was the culprit. Esmail is now preparing two Peacock series, the Battlestar Galactica reboot, version 2, and Fantasy Saga Angeline. Popular Food Network personality Robert Irvine has extended his association there through 2022. Irvine will continue on Restaurant Impossible, start a back-in-business spin-off July 30th, and create new series for food and other Discovery-owned lifestyle services. It will also develop segments for the interactive Food Network Kitchen, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. That's the joint venture between Discovery and Amazon. Now some quickies. ABC's 2020 American Music Awards will play there November 22nd. Outback Lockdown begins on Discovery Channel Sunday night. Just 2.5 million people watched the 30 Rock reunion special on NBC last night. A big reason why? A lot of affiliates, groups owned by Sinclair, Gray, Tegna, and other major station groups, tuned out of the special. However, NBC Universal's cable networks and Peacock will replay the program, doubling as NBC's upfront showcase for this year tonight. And Disney Plus will postpone next month's premiere of its first live-action Marvel series, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, due to pandemic production delays. And that is news notes for today. Now, JSI from Dublin, Ireland, and every exclusive, the showrunner of the TNT miniseries, The Alienist, Age of Darkness, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time this coming Sunday night, Stuart Callahan. Stuart, welcome in.
Hey, Simon, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you, and congratulations. The critics are already talking that you have a winner that's even better than the original series that came out 2 years ago.
Well, hopefully. We just had the kind of digital premiere last night. We feel pretty good about it. And, you know, like, we're in the trenches for a year with it, and everybody, cast and crew, worked so hard. And at the end of the day, you kind of, it's hard to know sometimes, you know, if something's going to connect or not. And you just, all you can do is your best and hope that at the end of the day you have something that people connect with. But that's really good is it seems to be like, well, we all seem to like it, so we're watching it ourselves and we're hypercritical about it and we're looking at it. So we were really happy with it, and then we're really happy that people who haven't seen the show, the few people that have watched it, seem to enjoy it. So yeah, it's hugely gratifying to us.
Stuart, why do you think the original miniseries struck a nerve when it played on TNT 2 years ago? It had like 50 million viewers, had a bunch of Emmy nominations, several Golden Globe nominations. Yeah. It was acclaimed as one of the best miniseries of the year. What about the series, the subject matter, the performances? What do you think really caught on with viewers?
I think there was a number of things. I mean, I think obviously there's a mystery, and I thought the chemistry between the three actors is kind of phenomenal, and it's kind of, you know, with Dr. Kreiser, with Lazar Kreiser, there's a kind of it's a Sherlock Holmes type character. So those kind of characters, if it's Sherlock Holmes or House, there's always something fascinating about those characters. They seem more intelligent than, you know, you as a viewer, and you're watching it, and it's always you tend to like everything about them, how they're smart, maybe a little bit obnoxious, a little bit arrogant, and so there's elements of that that are kind of fun. Then I think that the chemistry between the three leads, I think that in the book it's there, but also on screen, the three actors, like Dakota, Daniel, and Luke, just absolutely clicked with each other. So you can see that in the performances, and you can see that last year and this year. And also I think that one of the things is the sense of New York, the scale of it. It's phenomenal. So, like, they set the bar quite high for us. I remember watching the first season, and when you're looking at it and you're seeing the building of the Williamsburg Bridge, and you see New York in 1896, and you're going, it looks like it. and I think that's really, it's all the kind of money is up on screen, and it's phenomenal. So there's a great sense of immersing yourself in the history. So I think that, you know, that we were blessed to be able to use the back lot, where the streets of New York had been created in Budapest, and we were able to build on that. But I think that was just huge. So it was a completely immersive experience. So you've got the story, you've got these really compelling characters, and then you've got this immersive experience in New York at the time. And I think New York at the time, it was just a fascinating place. So many things were happening, you know?
Mm-hmm. The Alias was based on a best-selling book by Caleb Carr. Was he involved in this sequel?
He wasn't directly involved. He was involved last year setting it up, and obviously the book was our North Star, and we went to we would reference, we would go back and look at The Alienist and Angel of Darkness. So I mean the show begins and ends with the Caleb Carr books, because you're trying to, that immersive experience is there. But I mean, the truth of the matter is that with The Angel of Darkness, it's probably enough for 100 hours of television, you know? So so you're trying to you have to lose some of the richness as you go along. So what you're hoping to do is try and grab as much of the richness and texture and the varied characters as possible and keep them. So so that was the challenge for us, you know, to try and do him proud.
The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, is the sequel to the great T-Fin-T miniseries of 2 years ago, and the first few episodes premiere this Sunday night, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time, be 2 hours back-to-back on TNT, available on cable and satellite. We are speaking live from Dublin, Ireland, with the showrunner, Stuart Caroline. He joins us this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Tom Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us on this Friday afternoon for the program all about TV's current and future. We're normally with you Mondays and Fridays at this very hour. We have three episodes. We did a special hour on Wednesday dealing with the launch of Peacock, the new NBC Universal mega programming service that took place 48 hours ago. Any other question or comment for Stuart? Well, use that phone, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a 90-minute episode coming your way on Monday, and we're going to kick it off with the executive from Tegna, one of the largest TV station groups in the country. Several years ago, they picked up a multicast channel called Justice Network. It was formed by a former NBC Universal executive. We had him on the program when Justice Network was being formed. It's all about true crime and all sorts of associated subjects. Well, Justice Network, week after next, becomes True Crime Network, and they'll also spin off a network just for smart TV sets and smart devices. They'll be doing podcasts and a whole lot more. And we'll find out what else Tegna may be doing in the multi-channel game from executive Brian Weiss. And then we've got a real treat for you, perhaps TV's best choreographer. She won 3 Emmy Awards back-to-back-to-back. She also won 5 MTV Movie Awards back-to-back-to-back. Her credits in television, absolutely amazing. And she currently is the choreographer for the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. Marvin Tillis will join us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Join us, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Stuart, how did you want Angel of Darkness to both expand on what you did with the what was done with the Alienist, and also how did not just expand the story, but the tenor of the times, if you will, as well as how turn of the century New York was going?
I suppose the first thing is that in the book, it's a year later, so it's 1897. And that's one thing. The second thing is, as I said, the challenge was how in The Alienist, the first season, the first episode last year was the construction of the Williamsburg Bridge, and it was in the wintertime, so visually it looked stunning. So in this, it opens in the summertime of 97, so it's a completely different feeling. It's kind of more, let's say, Rosemary's Baby. The daytime has to feel dangerous and feel the kind of paranoia in the air. In terms of how it's different or how we moved it on, I think that in the sense of New York, we felt that it was moved on. We looked at these big movements that were happening at the time. So you really feel that you're on the edge of a different era, the changes in that Gilded Age era. So, for example, in the previous season, you would have had the robber baron class and all the poor and the destitute. But what you have between, from, let's say, 97, 98, 99 onwards, is you've got the rise of the middle class. And that was something we looked at. So that was absolutely fascinating to do that kind of historical research. So we featured things like the Siegel Cooper department store. So you know, at the time, shopping came into vogue in a big way. And what was amazing was just to walk the streets of New York and to see those old buildings. So, for example, the Siegel Cooper was the biggest department store in the world at the time. And there was an expression, "I'll meet you at the soda fountain," and that referred to the Siegel Cooper soda fountain. And it's the building is still there on Sixth Avenue, and I think the it's Bed Bath and Beyond have the premises now. So that was something there, the sense of the shopping. It was the beginning of the rise of skyscrapers, and there's a working class. In terms of the salary men, salary women, you know. So you have that, and that we reflected that in our story. We reflected that in our visuals. And then something else that was really fascinating to us was the newspapers. So this show is set against the backdrop of the Spanish-American War over Cuba. And so what you had was we feature William Randolph Hearst. So at the time, what you would have had is you had a huge amount of newspapers in New York. It was like 49 daily newspapers in Manhattan alone. This is the kind of birth of the 24/7 news cycle. You know, so when we're looking at it, we think that the 24/7 news cycle is just a recent phenomenon with Twitter and Facebook and so on. But at the time, if you were in newspaper row, which would have been on Park Row opposite City Hall, you would have had all the newspaper offices there: New York Times, the New York World, the Journal, the Tribune, New York Sun, and so on. And outside, you would have these big kind of chalk blackboards, and people would have put the headlines up. So sometimes you'd have, on average, maybe 2, 3, 4 editions a day. If it was a big, fast-moving story, there was maybe a dozen editions a day. So all of these people working their jobs are walking along, and they're looking up. So people were as obsessed with news and gossip and politics as they are now. So those were some of the energies, I guess, that we were looking at to make it feel You know, we're still, there's one foot in that Edith Wharton land, but it feels very much very modern, and we wanted to try and show that world. It's the kind of modern, bustling beginning of the metropolis, and that was a lot of fun to do that, you know.
Yeah. One quick side note, if you want to see a wonderful movie that deals with newspapers at the turn of the century, if Turner Classic Movies shows, and I know they've done it from time to time, see a film called Park Row by Samuel Fuller, the great filmmaker. He called it one of his best movies, and he, of course, was a former newspaper man. It's a really terrific film, headed by Gene Evans and Joe McDuff himself, George Jetson himself, George O'Hanlon. It's a really, really terrific film, and if you've never seen it, dude, that's a little bit of a side note. Bringing back your three cast members, maybe show the standing. What was it like to bring them all back, and what did you invite them to do in terms of not only reestablishing their chemistry, but also taking their characters to the next level?
Well, I think that in a sense, there were perfect arcs in last season, you know, so there was a kind of complete journey. And I think that it's because of the nature of the series, having come from the book, there's a sense of this completed arc. So what we wanted to do was make sure that there was a sense that they were moving on in their lives, that we didn't feel that we were going over old ground from the alienists, that they were living, breathing characters, and that there were, you know, challenges in the way, you know, the challenges that they had to meet. So it was about making it fresh, making it, you know, keeping true to who they are, because the actors themselves have a very strong sense of who these characters are, and they know them very well. So you want to keep that, but at the same time, kind of move it on somewhat, and adapt accordingly, so it doesn't feel that you know them so well that you know 100% how they're going to act. So there's a kind of discovery in it. You know, there's a discovery, there's a self-discovery in terms of they are finding out about themselves. There's a discovery in how they interact with each other, and it just needs to feel a little fresh and real and truthful, and truthful to who they are, you know, as they exist already, you know. And so that was that. And then you know, and it was the same thing with the other characters around that, you know, with you know, Cyrus, with Thomas Burns, and so on, the Isaacsons, and you know.
I want to welcome Flycatch into our chat room, Simon Apple 04. And thanks for coming. If you have a question or comment for Stuart, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. How long did it take to get that recreation of New York back up and running? Did you do it in the same place that you filmed, or that the Alienist, the first miniseries, was filmed?
Yeah, it's the same set. It's in Budapest. So there's this... I mean, we were, you know, 6 months in Budapest, and firstly, there was a number of different places. So firstly, there was this back lot where it's absolutely phenomenal. Like, it's one of the biggest sets in Europe. It's endless. So you can walk down the street, turn corners, turn further corners. So that allowed us it's unbelievable to have this. So if you had, you know, carriage rides, calash rides down, you can really show that. So that was one thing. And then Budapest is a fantastic city because there's a lot of buildings that were turn of the century, 1900 buildings that were designed by American architects. So curiously, the buildings are very similar to what New York would have been at the time. So we did a lot of location stuff there, and then, you know, we did some set builds as well. But it was a big thing, but, you know, there were like two crews on the go most of the time. So, but it was just great. And, you know, the real thing there was the team were just phenomenal, you know. So our production designer, Ruth Ammon, had a real vision for this. And so we worked closely with the team. They just brought everything. There was an attention to detail, costumes, props, everything. So there was a kind of an obsessive, everybody working on it had this obsessive need to keep it as real as possible. So we naturally referred to the books, but we did a huge amount of historical research on this to dry and get everything for everything to be right. You know, so there was a lot of information. So it was a fun journey for all of us. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a time we've taken a time machine back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, the early reviews that are coming in are really terrific. Deadline Hollywood Daily's TV critic Dominic Patton said in his feature, "The Show You Have to Watch This Week," that it is the show you have to watch this week. You can check it out, Deadline Hollywood Daily, deadline.com. We're live from Dublin, Ireland with Stuart Callahan. He is the showrunner of The Alien, Angel of Darkness. It premieres this Sunday night, 9:10 Eastern Pacific Time on TNT. And in a moment, we're going to talk about a special event that's going to happen before the premiere. That is coming up. And if you request your comment for Stuart, our meeting minutes with him, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, The Cowboy Way returns to INFP, and this time it's getting more distribution in more places. We will talk to the Executive Vice President of Marketing at INFP, Haynes Tower, about this new series and other things in the works at that network. And then if you haven't heard of Cinedigm, you want to. They have become one of the largest players in the world of smart TV set distributed services. Well, they've got two major new projects coming up. One is a service they actually announced 2 years ago, a women's network that's going to be going on the air next month. The other is a multicultural network that did get some headlines earlier this week, and that's going on the air early next year. We will talk to the person that makes Cinedigm Networks fly, President Eric Opeka. That's all coming up next Friday with more, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Stuart, what are you most proud of with this sequel to The Alienist?
I guess the whole package, and I think that it's the collective nature of it, how everybody came together, and you know that everybody worked so hard in it, and you know, one of those elements falls apart, it doesn't come together, and everything falls apart. So I think that the fact that you know, it was this huge commitment, and it was demanding, and it was tough, but everybody was working to their best ability. So I think that, you know, I think that you know, you've no control when you finish it. You've no control over it in a sense. Like, you've just done your work, so you don't know sometimes if it's good or bad, or you've done your best. But I think that all you can do is your best. So I think what I'm most proud of is the fact that people worked so hard on it to do that. And I think that it does feel like that sense of stepping back in time, and it's so fun. So you know, I don't know, I've seen it, you know, like 50 or 60 times, and it's only you know in the last day or two that I finally watched it up on the big screen and tried to disassociate myself from it, and got out the book of the popcorn, sit down, watch it up, and try to watch it as a viewer, and then you suddenly see it, and you don't see it as somebody involved in the making of it, you see it as just you know what it is, and so I think it speaks to what's happening in the world at the moment, what's happening in America at the moment. But I also think it's really entertaining. I think it's fun, and I know sometimes I'm like the rest, like everybody else. You know, sometimes you know you're channel hopping all the time, and you're looking at things, and you watch 10 minutes here or watch something there. You're always looking for something, just that kind of immersive experience. It doesn't matter if it's a TV show, if it's a movie, or if it's a book. But I think that we long to just be lost in a world that takes us out of ourselves. So I do think that this does that. It's serious, it's dark, but it's also fun. There's lightness. I think the characters, the actors are wonderful in it. There's moments that are heartbreaking. There are moments that are very truthful. There's moments that are scary. But it's fun. You want to find out what happens next, and you want to stay with it. Well, that's what I thought, and I think it's like a really immersive experience, and it feels like time travel. So I guess if I had to pick one thing, it's the sense of it being time travel. You know.
Speaking of immersive, it came to us in the last hour that before the TNT premiere Sunday night, there's going to be a special interactive event. Do you know about this?
Before Sunday night, an interactive event.
Yes. The Smoky Sunstone interactive theatrical event that's supposed to be going on.
Oh, there was a thing last night, a kind of an interactive theatrical event. The premiere was on last night, so it's a digital premiere, so we watched it. So there was a kind of this fascinating interactive thing where so I presume that's what it is, and so I think that's I have seen it, and it's quite amazing. So it's a kind of it's hard to explain, but what it is it's a live interactive murder mystery, and it's inspired by The Alienist, Angel of Darkness. But it's got actors, it's got sets, it's got a whole new story, and it's the kind of I think it's called Who Killed Alexandro Valdez? And so there's this thing, so it's kind of magical in a way. You're there, and it takes you about an hour, and you click onto certain boxes. And so a lot of the sets that we used or the location has been recreated in this way. So again, it's live. So you're there, and as you're trying to solve this crime, the actors can talk back to you. You can say, hey, there's, you know, hey, Simon, you think it's us, but it's not us. So it's a very unusual experience, and it's pretty cool. So anyway, so that was I wasn't the sharpest knife in the box last night, because I think it was with the time difference, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning here. So I was looking at it with blurry eyes, you know. But it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I understand that that's going to be either replayed or done again on Sunday night, either at 7:30 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern Time before the TNG presentation. And if anyone wants get more information, let me know, email me, find me on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll give them the a contact to get into. Before we leave you, Stuart, whether or not TNT and HBO Max decide, let's do a third Alias miniseries. What's next for you? What can we expect for you in terms of TV down the road?
Well, I'm doing a couple of things, and I'm working with Paramount Television, I think that I have a few different things, but at least two of them are set in New York, because I spent a lot of time there in the writer's room in New York, and because I immersed myself in the history of it, so it has a way of just grabbing you and wanting to go back. So really, the question for me is, how do I get back to New York? But I think that's it. So the two shows that I'm working on are set in New York.
Well, I hope that they can also be produced in New York. And as I said, we'll find out at the top of the hour from Governor Andrew Cuomo and hopefully Mayor de Blasio, Mayor of New York City, whether in fact TV production is going to start coming back starting next week. We will see. And hopefully that can be the case. The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, the new TNT miniseries, premieres this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on TNT. Check your local news for where that network is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the film online, here's where you go, www.tntdrama.com. That's www.tntdrama.com. The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Stuart Carolyn, the showrunner of the program, live from Dublin, Ireland. Thank you for making the time out there to be with us, prime time of your time. Congratulations again to you and all your cast and crew of making this happen. And hopefully it will be as grand a success or greater as the first time around.
Thank you so much, Simon. I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks a million.
You're very welcome. And keep us posted on the New York projects. We'd love to have you come back when you're in New York for that.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. Sir Carolyn, showrunner of The Alienist, Angel of Darkness, joining us live from Dublin, Ireland. Coming up for our next half hour, our classic trivia question of the week. But first, summer camp is getting TV exposure like it's never had before. And one of the big players is public television, with a new series that started this past Monday, Camp TV. Series producer and writer Lynn Topwell joins me here in the Big Apple after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, speaker, and TuneIn Radio. Together, reaching over 45 million listeners around the world every month, and growing. Don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Keep updated on where this pandemic is going worldwide with all sorts of special reporting, plus podcasts and other original material. The Coronavirus News Channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday, the 17th of July, 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you are with us. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And don't forget, our classic trivia question of the week is coming your way before the top of the hour, so get those pens, pencils, whatever handy, including your thinking cap, because you could win, if you're first with the correct answer, the Peacock Commemorative Jigsaw Puzzle and Activity Book. Question coming up, again, before the top of the hour. In the last 2 weeks, summer camp, which has been denied to a lot of kids and their parents in many parts of the country because of the coronavirus pandemic, has become something to watch either online or on television. There is Camp by Walmart, which is a very interesting interactive situation involving the interactive video platform Echo, which Walmart has a $250 million investment in. However, you have to catch it online. It is, believe it or not, not available on smart TV sets and smart devices, or anywhere else in television that matter. Then there is Camp Tons of Fun, which is only available on Comcast cable systems with the Xfinity or the Flex platform. And again, that is a TV venture, and it is on your television set. But of all these ventures, the one that is available more than anyone else in terms of television is Camp TV. It started this past Monday on many public television stations across the country. And here to talk about it, live from New York, is the producer and writer of the series, Melinda Toprock. Melinda, welcome in.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Same here. This has to be one of the quickest reactions to what really has been a deficit this year in summer living for a lot of kids, which is the lack of summer camp because of the pandemic. How quickly did you and your crew at Channel 13, the public TV flagship station here in New York, get this together?
Well, what I can tell you is that we produced 20 episodes, or we're actually midst producing 20 episodes, and under normal circumstances, it would probably take about 6 months to produce this. We've pulled it off in 6 weeks. So we're a little bit dizzy, but delighted, and love what's come out. It's a pretty joyful series.
Have you gotten any reaction from either public television stations around the country or viewers to what you've done so far with the first 5 episodes running this week?
Yeah, there's actually been great response from our local stations across the U.S. Lots of nice pickup by them, and they actually have an interesting option where they can localize some of the material so that they can work with their own local institutions, much the way we have here in New York with different organizations like Lincoln Center or the New York Public Library. So it's gotten some nice attention.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, have some of the stations around the country, have they localized? Have they used that option? And if so, how creative are they being?
They absolutely are localizing, which is really exciting. The specifics of what each station is doing, I have been a little busy doing the writing and production side of it, so I'm not quite as on top of that as I probably could be. But I know that, you know, they're working with some of their local zoos, just local institutions, cultural institutions.
So how is your series presenting the summer camp experience? What about the experience do you want to get across to kids and their parents?
Well, I mean, this is being produced by a bunch of camp counselors and this is being produced by people who went to camp and loved it. And so the hope is that sort of real knowledge of what the camp experience should feel like is coming through. And the way we do that is we're trying to simulate a day camp experience for kids. It's hosted by a Broadway actor named Zachary Noah Pizer. He's been in Evan Hansen and Wicked. He is a delight. And he acts as sort of the head counselor or the chaperone that gets you from one activity to the next. And the activities are made up of the segments that our organizations and partners that we've been working with have given us to air. So that's the long answer.
Was it very easy to find the camp counselors, and did you find them working at Channel 13 or other parts of the Channel 13 group, or did you have to go to some other places to find counselors who could very quickly get this vision going?
Well, I have to say that, you know, these organizations that we're working with had also wanted to try to fill that gap for kids who you know, had summer plans that might have been canceled due to COVID-19. And so there were people who were in this arena who were educators, and it is those educators that we've been dealing with at the New Victory Theater, for example. So they're not literally camp counselors, but under the guise of Camp TV, they become our camp counselors. And they do different activities with the kids. So everything from movement segments to storytelling to science segments, literacy, animal segments, art segments. There's something for everyone.
Who are some of the organizations that worked with you on this?
You know, we have over 25 plus organizations who have donated contact, and it's been a pretty unique approach to putting a show together, I think, certainly during a pandemic. I could rattle them off, everything from Bedtime Math, Brooklyn Botanical Garden, Brooklyn Children's Museum. We have the Franklin Institute, the Intrepid Sea and Air and Space Museum. We have the Liberty Science Center, Lincoln Center, Memphis Zoo, New Victory, New York Public Library, Wildlife Conservation. It just goes on and on, which is pretty fantastic.
I know the last couple of years, Channel 13 has a network called All Arts, which is available around the country. Either it's a multicast channel on the PBS stations or it is a smart TV, so a smart TV service. And I'm wondering what factor All Arts played in getting some of these organizations to contribute material for Camp TV.
I have to say that this has definitely been a group effort, both internally and externally outside of WNET. We happen to have borrowed one of the producers from All Arts to work on this series as well. But we have, you know, inroads with a lot of these institutions, thanks to All Arts, but also just, you know, the power of public television and the mission behind it, which is to provide, you know, a place for kids to get engaged and learn and have some fun during, you know, a tough summer for many little broken hearts out there.
We're speaking with Melinda Topoloff. She is the series producer and writer of Camp TV, the brand new daily afternoon series that's available on public television stations around the country and is produced here in New York on WNET Channel 13, their WNET 13 group. By the way, before we go forward, what time period are most is Channel 13 and many of the stations playing it in? Just to give people a sense of when to find, where to find it, and when.
Yeah, you know, currently there's 3 hours back-to-back where you can find it on different stations. Here it airs weekdays, began this past Monday. It's going to air for the next 4 weeks with premieres. And New York, it airs at 10. WLIW, 21 at 11 a.m. on 13 and 12 p.m. on NJTV. And episodes are also available to stream on camptv.org.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that, too, as we go along, because there's actually two places where you can find episodes and also some special activities, too, so we get to that in a little bit. So for those of you around the country, A, you have to check your local listings for the PBS station in your area to find out if it's playing it, and secondly, when. Some stations in the morning, some stations in the afternoon, some both. They may double run. and some may play on the weekends as well as on the weekdays. I'm going to join us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm going to be live from New York as well. 77 degrees at the top of the hour. Yes, we are expecting the beginning of maybe our first heat wave here in the New York metro area starting tomorrow, about 90 degrees tomorrow, Sunday, et cetera, et cetera. And a question or comment for Melinda, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Once again, we have a 90-day edition coming your way on Monday, our next episode. And coming your way will be executive from Kenya, the popular TV station ownership group, Brian Weiss. We'll talk about Justice Network, which in 2 weeks becomes True Crime Network and spins off a network now that multicast stations, but also on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and also podcasts as well. Plus, the person who may very well be the most big TV choreographer around. She currently is the Raven choreographer on the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. She is the only choreographer to win 3 back-to-back Emmy Awards and 5 back-to-back MTV Movie Awards. Margaret Derricks will join us live. That's next Monday, 3:30 to New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. How do you figure with all this patchwork of you have your host, you have all these segments that people are contributing from different organizations, how do you figure out who goes where and when each episode?
Well, it's been kind of based on rolling admissions, what came in and when. We did try to have, you know, deadlines as best we could. We've had to be very diligent about our production schedule and just made sure that we were hitting certain milestones so that we could get on the air. And we have, you know, like I said, great partners, and Zach is a champ and a delight. And, you know, if that means we're shooting at 10 p.m. at night to get something done for the next day, that's what we're doing.
No. Let's talk about that. What were some of the hoops that you had to get through in order to produce, to physically produce the show? Because, as I mentioned, most TV production has been stopped here in New York and the New York metro area since the pandemic started back in February and March. As I mentioned at the top of the program, we were expecting before the top of the hour Governor Cuomo and New York Governor Cuomo and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio to finally announce that Phase 4 is going to happen, which would mean TV production would come back in a big way in New York. So what kind of hoops did you and your crew have to work with to pull these episodes together?
Well, we obviously were all working remotely. And, you know, Zach, like I said, has been a champ. I mean, normally we would basically just ask our talent to show up ready to shoot with their lines ready. In this case, you know, we're not sending a crew to his house. So he is self-shooting, you know, and that has its own tech learning curve to it, but he's been amazing at that. And our editors are off-site. We're just sort of all over the place, but we have our, you know, daily, weekly meetings, and it's actually been a pretty fluid process. But, you know, WNET is still open for business, and so we're calling our music department when we need something, or our graphics department, and you know, everyone's been fabulously responsive, and so we're all remote, but working hard.
Yeah. When you talk remote, does everybody shoot from their homes, or did you invite Zach to shoot outdoors, let's say, at a place that, let's say, outdoor, outside of Lincoln Center, outside of Brooklyn Children's Museum, in Prospect Park, in Central Park, you know, someplace that would give kids an outdoor sense of summer camp?
Yeah. I mean, we chose to go a more conservative route, and everything was done from the safety of people's homes. But you will notice if you tune in, and I recommend you do, that at the top of the show, Zach introduces and welcomes the kids with a welcome song, and he's outdoors. It just happened to have been that he was visiting family that weekend when we decided that we were going to press the green button and go, and, you know, we quickly shipped him some props, and so he did some work outdoors, but that has been really the only time. Otherwise, he's home.
By the way, how did the funding come together? Was it all viewer supported? Corporate and public broadcasting. Let's honor the and acknowledge the people who funded this project.
So it's definitely CPB, and John Gans Cooney is one of the funders, and that's actually, you know, a whole other network of people who do the incredible development and fundraising for us. So that's the extent of what I know of, but obviously not made possible without grants and donations.
Mm-hmm. What part of the summer camp experience, I know for me and a lot of my contemporaries, was crafts? You know, you had a chance to either at the park bench or when you were at the table getting ready for lunch to maybe do some drawing, writing, you know, some drawing or painting or things like that. And I'm wondering how much of that is caught in the series.
So we have a segment that's called Let's Get Artsy, and we, you know, cover things like, you know, making your own homemade maracas, and, you know, Zach will often do his own craft. He'll do, you know, for one of our episodes that was sort of a hats off to our frontline heroes. He made a friendship bracelet with kids and showed them how to do that. And so there's all sorts of crafts and camp-themed crafts all over the place. It's just being delivered in a different way over airwaves instead of over, you know, a wooden table in a cabin somewhere.
What are some of the other recurring or regular features?
So we always, because, you know, this is an educational experience, we like to make sure that we always have a literacy piece, a math piece, science piece, and then there's, of course, arts and field trips and, you know, performance pieces, writing pieces. So lots of different variety in terms of what we're covering.
Mm-hmm. Because you're still in production on episodes, is there a way that kids can respond to segments, let's say, some sort of or some opportunity to kids to suggest, let's say, here's what I'd like to see in a future episode, or here's a place I've gone to that I would love to see contribute a segment.
I love that idea. I think we're going to have to save it for hopefully what will be another year, not of COVID, but of Camp TV. Like I said, we just pulled this off so quickly. We haven't really had that luxury of getting our viewers involved in that way. However, we do have, like I said, camptv.org. There's companion learning materials that are available through WNET Education. And it has, you know, everything from how to make that friendship bracelet you just saw to other, you know, pieces of content that sort of expand on the themes that we'll cover within an episode. I will also say what's really fun about Camp TV is that we have a theme every episode, a lot like Spirit Day. You know, we have Silly Socks Day, we have Crazy Hat Day, Rhyme Day, we had Space Day, and we just shot something called It's Not Really My Birthday Day. Lots of fun themes that Zach presents to our happy campers.
I used to go, when I was way, way young, to the Brooklyn Children's Museum several times. I think it's one of the most underrated museums of
mm-hmm.
any kind in New York City, but in the country. And I was just curious what they had to contribute.
We have so many segments. I would not want to misspeak. That would be insulting to them. So I will say that for it to have made our show, it had to have had a certain cachet and delight, and definitely the Brooklyn Children's Museum material, being who they are, was was perfect for us.
And anybody that comes to Brooklyn, make it part of your itinerary to see the Brooklyn Children's Museum. It's one of the really great places, not just in Brooklyn, but all of New York and all of the country. It really is very special. Talk more about some of the special material that people can get offline. Not only at CAMTV and all, but also at WAT.org also. I understand there's some special material that parents can use. There's special other activities. What are some of the other activities that the kids or parents can access online?
Like I mentioned, you know, pieces that expand on a math segment, let's say, that we've covered, or a science segment. If, you know, we do a segment about how to make bubbles and hold a bubble, you know, what we'll do is you can go online and get that recipe for making those kinds of bubbles, and then, you know, it has other ancillary pieces that are related to that topic that parents can talk to their kids about and kids can have fun doing at home.
Mm-hmm. I had a chance to check out both websites and see some of the material. It's very, very worth reading and using. So we're going to say that again before we go. Anyway, the program is called Camp TV. You can find it now on many public television stations, including here in New York on WAT13, WLIW, Channel 21, and also New Jersey Public Television, or NJTV, as well. Remember, when you check your local PBS station, one, check if the station is running the program, two, when. Here in New York, it's being run either at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., or noon. Some stations will run the program in the morning, some in the afternoon, some will double run, some will also run on weekends as well as weekdays. So make sure you do check it out. For more details about the program online, as well as special material that you can use or your kids can use, go to www.camptv.org. That's www.camptv.org and www.wnet.org. That's www.wat.org. And again, I want to thank the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and viewers like you, by the way, supporting your local public television station, providing the funds for this project to happen in the first place. It is very, very worthwhile, and I highly recommend you check it out. It's a great, great deal. And you know, hopefully next year we're all back with summer camp and that this series continues in expanded form next year too. Melinda Topperoff, the series producer and writer, thank you again for taking the time out from a very busy schedule because you're still doing episodes to be with us. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. And hopefully this is going to be a long-running show that will give kids and their parents much, much summer camp pleasure for hopefully many years to come.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Same here, Melinda. Take care. You and your whole crew have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
Melinda Topperoff, series producer and writer of Camp TV, now on public television stations around the country. Also check out www.pbs.org. It's pbs.org. Our topic trivia question coming away shortly, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for The Dresden Files, the latest in that popular series of books, how about this one, Peace Talk by Jim Butcher? And that can be your entryway, Will, to the world of Audible.com, because that can be your free trial book that happens right when you go to audibletrial.com/televised. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device and deliver your Amazon right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, iHeartRadio. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. Check the book you want. You not only get the book, but you also get a one-month trial, and you get wellness material and much more as well. So, how about having this day or this weekend be the time that you discover for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? Makes a great gift anytime, birthday, anniversary, whatever, for you or someone you love. Nothing like the world of audio, the world of hearing, to really make someone's day go great. audibletrial.com/televised. Now, our topic trivia question of the week. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the Peacock Commemorative Jigsaw Puzzle, over 500 pieces, and the Commemorative Activity Book. Here's the question. Name two co-stars of the long-running Lifetime drama series Army Wives. It ran on Lifetime from 2007 to 2013. Name two co-stars of the long-running Lifetime drama Army Wives. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full memory address so that if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If you've already won, give someone else the opportunity to do so. They'll thank you for it. Once again, it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you miss the question, I'll post it, and if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. It's Simon Applebaum on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. This is UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So get involved and all the greatest. We've had a wonderful week here on Tomorrow's Show. We want to thank all of our guests for joining us, including Victor Fuentes, the director of Curse, the new Netflix saga that premiered earlier today, Roxanne Dawson, the episode series director behind such shows as This Is Us and Penny Dreadful, City of Angels on Showtime. Thank you to our guest from our Peacock episode on Wednesday, Nick Mohammed, the creator co-star with David Schwimmer and executive producer of Intelligence, and our good friend from CNews.com, Joan Soltman, of course, our guest from earlier today. So we hope you tune into those. If you missed those episodes or want to catch up on others, go to our homepage anytime you like, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, and SimonApple04@yahoo.com, or go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can always check out our podcast at iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. On the latter two sites, that's TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio's website, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click and you're in. And again, to get the replays, the main place to go is www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going? So please, anytime you like, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And also get involved in our regular feature of Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get a lot of attention? We'll give it the attention, and we have to hear from you. And when we do, you get the credit. So it's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, coming up on Monday's show, we will have Brian Weiss from Tegna and the Emmy Award-winning choreographer from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, Margaret Derricks. We hope to have another guest as well. And we'll also update you on the situation, which we hope to get the clearance on Phase 4 of the reopening of New York City, which hopefully includes the return of TV production. Remember, we love hearing from you, and we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not those of Block Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin, and he is Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, free audio book, wellness material, and much more, AudibleTrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift, birthday, anniversary, whatever, for you or someone you know. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening on a fantastic weekend. Please, wherever you are, if you're dealing with a pandemic, keep wearing that mask, social distance. We're going to get through this, and we're going to lift this pandemic once and forever. We are back on Monday, 90 edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the IR Radio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend and beyond, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.